what do we do, or what's our approach when people don't get healed? And you know, often when we pray for people, some people get healed and sometimes some people don't. Well, the short answer is quite easy. What do you do when someone doesn't get healed? Is you keep praying. And I just checked it out with Marion earlier, just caught her off guard and said, what do we do when somebody doesn't get healed when we pray for them? She said, keep going. And that's absolutely right, to keep going, to keep praying for people. And so that's the short answer, but I just want to look at a little bit more detail. Okay. When Jesus sent out the 12 and the 72, the most significant thing he sent them out with was power and authority. When you think of those two words in your own life, you know, perhaps the places where you work and the people who you are, you influence or not, or influenced by. Can you imagine if you had absolute power and authority? I have always craved power and authority my whole life. When I was when I joined the army at 16, you know, I just had this desire to be promoted, become a lance corporal. I was a junior soldier, we were called then, when I was 16, and I thought, yeah, I want to be a lance corporal and have some power. I never got it. This sergeant kept saying to me, "You've got real potential." I thought, "Yeah, I know." And you know, "You're going to be promoted one day." And I was like, "Yeah, I know." You know, yeah. And I never got it. The most I got was to be in charge of a room of other guys who were also privates like me, but no sort of real power. And when I went into sort of man service, they called it, and I eventually rose to the dizzy height of lance corporal, which my dad had been a captain in the army, and he couldn't quite get his head round how lowly that was. But to me, it was power. But no, I'm kidding, obviously. But this power and authority of Almighty God, can you imagine that? I mean, absolute power. Absolute power. I mean, you've all probably been in situations where you don't. You know, and you know, at work sometimes, I just think, I'm often in work, Tom's always laughing at me, because I'm always like, if I was in charge, I would do this, this, that, and the other. Because I don't have the power. But obviously, as Christians, we absolutely do have the power and authority of Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. We have that authority and power. It's ours. We can access it any time of the night and day. And it sounds simplistic, this, forgive me, but we need to really believe this and access it and operate in it and walk in it continually in our own lives and amongst our own families and our friends and relationships and all the difficulties and things we have with that, and to understand that we have absolute power and authority. That doesn't mean that everything always goes according to our plan, by the way, but we do have absolute power and authority. And in terms of healing, John Wimber said, "Knowing in the head is not the same as believing in the heart." And for me, in healing is predominantly about compassion. All about compassion. Compassion coming from the heart. And tonight what we want to do is to activate our hearts for healing. And to sort of really sort of begin the process of, you know, thinking about and praying about over the coming weeks and months, and challenging yourself about where you are really at with healing, and how you can get your heart into that compassion mode. Because you can't just switch it on and switch it off. You either have it or you don't. But we can access it to have God's heart for people. So if somebody comes forward for healing, if it's, I always describe it like this, it's like we see healing as a scale like this, okay? So at the bottom, we've got things like, I've got a headache, or a bit of back pain, okay? And something like Russell in the hospice, coming out of the hospice, is a bit higher up. My leg growing back might be even higher than that. Like a recreative miracle, people call it. Okay, we tend to see it on a scale like that. But at the cross, it's not a scale like this. It's like that. It's all exactly the same. Absolutely no problem for Jesus. Leprosy, casting out demons, raising people from the dead. It's all the same. And what we constantly have to do I mean, we can say, oh, yeah, yeah, it's right, I believe that. But what we constantly have to do, particularly in ministry and praying for people, is get that skill that way on. Because if someone comes to see you for prayer and they come forward for something that's at the bottom, that's easy, if this is how you think. But if they come for something that's up here, how you think, you're going to struggle to pray. Because you know. Now, it doesn't mean to say that if you pray like that, they won't get healed, by the way, just so you understand that. Okay, but it helps if you're not seeing it like that. And it's quite demoralising when you come forward for prayer and the people that are praying for you think like that, because you sense it. So, go forward at a meeting, there's some guy there, I single out this guy at this conference to pray for me, I get to this guy, this mighty man of God to pray for me, I say to him, I've got a false leg and I'd like God to grow me a new one. And he says, whoa, wow, that's big. My faith starts going through the floor. Not just of what he said, but the way he said it as well. And then he starts praying for me based on my faith, which has just gone through the floor. And honestly, I felt really stupid. I went back to my seat feeling a bit stupid, thinking, why didn't I just ask him to take the pain away? And he might have had faith for that. Okay, it's important that when people come to us, they get out the seat, they come to the front, feeling a bit nervous about it. Not everybody likes coming to the front, we have to understand that as well. They come forward for prayer, and they say what they want prayer for, and what they say should stir your heart for compassion for them, that you're moved. Okay, if that's the start point. When Jesus said about Lazarus, take off the grave clothes, that's actually what's, in a way, is what's happened for us. So when I die, it's, you know, my body is going to be wrapped in grave clothes, if you like, whatever happens to my body, don't care. But me, I kind of burst through that little whatever happens. I burst through that into something else, don't I? Into a new body. But Lazarus was healed into a dying body, wasn't he? Okay, so he was healed, yay! But he was going to die. He died again later. The primary focus of always in healing, this is, my take on it is that salvation is the primary focus. So someone comes forward for healing, my primary focus is to find out if they are saved. Not if they've made a commitment once, but to if they know Jesus, if they're saved. I always ask the question twice. I always say, do you know Jesus? And whatever they say, whether it's yes or no, I'm not sure, I ask them again, do you know Jesus? You know, and then ask him, where are you at with him at the moment? Because some people want the healing, but they don't want Jesus. Which is common. If someone comes in, they're sick, they want prayer, they want to be healed, maybe they've got cancer, maybe they're fearful, maybe there's a history of a certain illness or something in the family, and they've got the first signs of it, and they're desperate for healing, they've heard about healing, they want to be healed, but they need to know Jesus, don't they? They need to know Jesus, because if they get healed and go to hell, what is the point of that? What is the point of that? People need to be healed to know Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about how are you doing with God? Are you doing well with God? I don't mean that, but are they saved? Somebody might be suffering from mental illness or depression or something. They might be really struggling with God, but they might still be saved. And it's important that we move for compassion for people. So salvation is the primary focus. And healing, we know, is always, it's pointing, it's a sign, isn't it? Healing's pointing towards something, pointing towards Jesus. People often say, and you know, you might have said this yourself, and I think I've probably said it. You know, some people say, you know, I'd love to just see a great healing miracle. I'd love to just once, I'd love to see somebody out of a wheelchair running around and stuff like that. But those same people might not do a backflip when someone gets saved. So what might get you out of your chair going, yeah, come on, is if somebody got out of a wheelchair who you knew had been in it for years and started running around this building, and you'd be going, yeah. But when somebody gives their life to Jesus for the first time, it doesn't quite stir your heart. That needs to change. We need to remember our first love and what it meant for us to be saved and what it really means for us to be saved, so we really understand what it is like for someone when they come to faith in Christ, and to be motivated by that. I understand people wanting to see miracles and stuff, but you know, Jesus wasn't so happy about that, was he? So if my leg grew back, for example, if I woke up, I mean, I've always thought it would happen during the night, that I'd wake up one morning and he'd just be there. Come on! I was talking to a friend of mine who lost his leg to cancer a few years before I lost mine, and we were chatting about what those experiences were like, and he said, oh, I remember the first time I sat in a bath and just saw one foot and then the end of my leg, you know. And I said, oh yeah, I said, I remember that vividly for me. And it was like a... But I often think about, what would it be like to wake up and see 2 feet there? Just be ripping awesome. Anyway, but if that happened, and Marion's family are not saved, a brother and a sister and their spouses and children and grandchildren, they're not saved at all. Never budged an inch, have they? You know. But if my leg grew back and none of them got saved, waste of time. Absolute waste of time. And some people might say, yeah, but if your leg did grow back, they would get saved. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Okay, we know that with Lazarus. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. He's been in the grave 4 days, and he raises him from the dead, shouts, Lazarus, come out, and out he comes. And, you know, and people always joke about he had to shout, Lazarus, come out, because if he hadn't, if he just said, come out, everybody, the whole graveyard would have been out, you know, probably, I don't know. Probably would have been, but he calls Lazarus out. And some people, some of the Jews, put their faith in Jesus. Well, you would, wouldn't you? And some of them, off to the Jewish leaders, he's just raised someone from the dead, complaining about him. And then they get narked. And then the following from that is, oh, we don't only want to kill Jesus, we want to kill Lazarus as well. So this idea that a healing will shift somebody, it's not always true, actually. It is sometimes, but it's not like a universal fact that if someone gets healed of something significant, that people will come to faith in Christ. I'm sure many of you might have heard the story of Margaret tells about a little boy called Archie, who was paralyzed down one side, probably cerebral palsy. He was paralyzed down one side. He was about 6 months old. He couldn't sit up. 6 or 7 months. Can you remember how old he was? About 6 or 7 months when he couldn't sit up. He was paralyzed down one side. They used to have to prop him up with pillows and things so he could sit up. And Margaret was at this sort of play group with him. And she said to the mother of the little boy, who was called Sonia, can I pick him up? So she said, yeah. So she picks him up and says, oh, what's wrong with him? And she said, oh, he's got, you know, he's paralyzed down one side, can't move his hand and his leg. So she stood him on her legs, Margaret, and he stood 1 foot firm and the other foot, leg just hanging limp. Then Margaret prayed, Lord Jesus, I read this morning that you healed the man with the withered hand. And what you did for that man, you could do for little Archie now. So heal him in Jesus' name. She stood him up again, both feet, poof, firm on her legs. A mother, Sonia, sees her from the other side of the road, from the other side of the room, rather, drops a cup, screams, are you a miracle worker or what? Margaret says, no, I'm not, but I know someone who is. Let me tell you about him. And tells her about Jesus. They took Archie to the specialist, and the specialist was like stunned. I mean, he had physio like every day, I think. He had physio regularly, but he was totally healed and didn't need it again. I was driving down the road with Martin one day. He said, oh, see that little kid over there? It's a kid about 10 year old. I said, yeah, he said, that's Archie. Totally healed. Mum and dad never budged at all, but Archie was healed. in Jesus' mighty name. We need to be moved for compassion. When Marion and I were in the Canary Islands last year, we go to the Canary Islands every February because it's really cheap. And we're over there, and I've got a bit of an eye. I can spot people who've got a false leg. It's like a bit of a gift. It's easy if they're wearing shorts, by the way. But anyway, we counted 10, didn't we? I said, look, there's one guy over there, look, one leg. And Marion's like, oh, there's another one as well. That's 7. Anyway, the 10th one we witnessed to, didn't we? This guy, we chatted to him and stuff, and witnessed to him, and I moved with compassion for him because I know what he's going through, you know. And it's like real compassion for him and heart for him. He was, you know, he was struggling, this guy. He was obviously an alcoholic, a few other problems, probably in his 60s, I would say, in a wheelchair, struggling, you know. Chatted to him and witnessed to him and prayed for him, you know. So he moved with compassion for people. The aim is to glorify God. Let me just read you this. Is from John chapter 7, verse 16. So they're talking about Jesus in verse 15. This says, the Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself, but he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. So we're working for the honor of Jesus. To see Jesus saved. To see Jesus heal people. Jesus already saved, didn't he? To see Jesus heal people and him be glorified in it. Jesus to be glorified, not us. For Jesus to be glorified. To glorify God, to save the lost, and to heal the sick. When a friend of mine died of cancer a few years ago, and we hadn't really been good friends, to be honest. He was a friend of my brother-in-law's, really. And I kind of knew him through that. And he was an atheist. And when I became a Christian, he absolutely hated me. He used to, if we went out anywhere socially and he was there, he'd give me absolute grief. And one time he'd been ill, you know, and he said, I was worried at one point. I thought this might be it. And I said, and where would you go? And he kind of stuck his nose against mine and said, nowhere. And but when he was dying of cancer, I went to see him in the hospital. He was shocked that I turned up in the hospital because we weren't that close, really, but we've known each other a long time. And then I sat on the bed, which really freaked him out. Then I put my hand on his chest, which really, really freaked him out. And he was a builder, Richard, and he'd done a lot of work for me. And I said, I haven't come to talk to you about my extension. So I've come to talk to you about Jesus. I said, I didn't ever get the chance to tell you how I became a Christian, did I? And he said, no, because he couldn't go anywhere. I had my hand on his chest. I said, I'd like to tell you. So I give my full testimony. And then I said to him, would you like to think that there was somewhere to go when you die? And he said, yeah, I'd like to think there was. And I said, well, then his wife came in then, and I said, he'd just been diagnosed, by the way, told he had a couple of months or whatever. And I said, would you like to talk some more? He said, yeah, I think I would. So I was going to see him again. But he deteriorated very quickly. And when I went to see him, he was at home. And he was already in a coma. And I was in his house, in his bedroom, feeling really uncomfortable. Thought, you know, we haven't been really good mates, to be honest. I don't know his wife at all. His sister was there. Didn't know his sister at all. It was his second wife. His wife's two daughters were there. Didn't know them at all. And feeling really uncomfortable. And they'd just popped downstairs for summer. And I prayed, Lord, let salvation come to this room. That's all I prayed. So, anyway, then they all came up. And I kind of go for it. I said, look, can I pray for Richard? They said, yeah. So I just prayed for him. I basically preached into his ear. full gospel into his ear. And then I was saying to the family, you know, they say the hearing's the last thing they go. I don't know, they know that. But anyway, I preached the gospel into his ear and prayed for him and said to him, you know, Richard, welcome Jesus into your heart so that when you die, he'll welcome you into his heart, you know, and praying for him like that. And when I finished praying, one of his stepdaughters was sat right next to me. She's probably in her 20s, I guess. And I said, do you know Jesus? She said, no. I said, would you like to? She said, yes. So I prayed for her, led it to the Lord. And then his sister did exactly the same thing. And then his wife. And then his other stepdaughter. Just like that. I mean, it's as easy as that. And all I'd said was, let salvation come to this room. Which is exactly what I prayed for Russell the other day. Said to him, I said, if your dying won't bring your family to Christ, maybe your healing will. And they are making progress, to be honest. Because, you know, when you're in a hospice, that's a very powerful pulpit. You have to be moved. Compassion. So what do we do when people aren't healed? I remember going to a church with Martin in Manchester, and I had this word of knowledge about people with carpal tunnel syndrome. I don't even really know what it is, but I know it's when your wrist's hurt or something. I'm not a medical person. So people responded to the words of knowledge, and these three people came forward. So this one woman comes to me. I'm guessing she's probably in 60s, 70s, something like that. She said, oh, I have this carpal tunnel syndrome, terrible, you know, my fingers and thumbs and everything. So I've started praying for her, and she said, oh, that thumb's better. I said, oh, great. So I said, let's pray for the other thumb. Seemed like a good idea. So I prayed for the other thumb. She said, yeah, that's better now. And I'm like, yeah, two thumbs, come on. Anyway, then I prayed for her again, and all the pain went completely from her hands and her wrists, completely. So much so that she's shocked. She's going, my goodness, you know, look at that. Look, and the family are out the chair, eyeballs out, you know. She's going, I can move, man's brilliant. The woman behind her can't get prayed for fast enough. So she's out the way. Next woman comes. I've got a little pattern now. I prayed for a left thumb. Then I prayed for a right thumb. Then I prayed for her hands. Same, totally healed. As fast as I prayed, totally healed. There was a guy behind them, came forward. As soon as I held his hands, I knew he wasn't going to get healed. I don't know how or why. I just thought, I don't know, whatever I was feeling at the time, as soon as I touched his hands, I didn't feel it anymore. I've no idea what that was about at all. But I prayed for him anyway. Nothing happened. And I've no idea what that was about. I just want to kind of, you know, what do you do? You still got to have compassion for the person to pray and to encourage them to pray and, you know, and ask him, you know, obviously I asked him about his faith and everything like that. But it's we need to keep praying with compassion and keep praying for people. And when they don't get healed, or if they don't get healed, don't be discouraged. Keep going. Keep praying. You know, sometimes I might pray for people, and they haven't been healed, and I'll say, stay there, because somebody else will come and pray for you in a minute. You know, make them stay there. Don't go. Okay, pray for the other people. Keep my eyes open. Keep the person. No, don't go, mate. Come back. Keep an eye on people, because sometimes people come forward a bit. They think there's a bit of a queue, so they go back. They go away. Nah, go and grab them and bring them back. And, you know, keep an eye out for people. If you see someone come forward for prayer, and then they don't get prayed for, or something, come and pray for them. Or, you know, go and find them and say, did you want some prayer? Let me pray for you. I'd really like to pray for you. And have compassion and love for them. Let me just read you a little bit from Philippians, if I find it. Galatians. Philippians 2. Verse 25. Just a little bit of scripture says here. But I think it is necessary to send back, this is Paul, to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honour men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Now, obviously, they didn't have mobile phones then. So when this guy was sick, the message must have got to these other people that he was sick. So he must have been sick for quite some time. And it's significant sickness that he almost died, and significant enough for Paul to write about it. So this is the Apostle Paul, who often healed people instantaneously. So he must have had some sort of endurance with this guy, praying for him and praying for him and praying for him and praying for him, and maybe thinking he's dying, and eventually the guy pulling through. So Paul must have prayed for him, don't give up. In 2 Timothy, Paul says, in 2 Timothy 4:20, Paul says, I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. You read it for yourself. Basically, he leaves someone behind because he's sick. The Apostle Paul leaves somebody behind because he's sick. He's obviously prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him, probably anointed him with oil and prayed for him and left him because he's sick. Had to go without him because he was sick. Paul has an illness, doesn't he? Galatians chapter 4. Verse 13. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, sound very nice, does it? You did not treat me with contempt or scorn. See? Compassion. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. That's it right there. Someone comes forward, all sorts of terrible things wrong with them. Maybe not very pleasant. Maybe you kind of don't want to get involved. But welcome them as if they were an angel of God, as if they were Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Okay, so Paul himself had an illness that he couldn't shrug off. And in James chapter 5, verse 16, you know the scripture really well. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man and woman, by the way, is powerful and effective. So there's some connection of unconfessed sin. Now, my advice when you're praying with somebody is make sure that if you're asking them about that, you ask it in a really loving way. Oh, you're not getting healed. Maybe you need to confess some sin. They'll be like, thanks, and they won't come back again. You've got to do it with, you can say, is there anything that you feel that you want to pray about? Or, trust the Holy Spirit. Is there anything you want to pray about? Is there somebody you need to forgive? I remember praying for a guy at a church in Liverpool, I think it was, and I said to him, do you need to forgive somebody? I said, I might be wrong here, but do you need to forgive somebody? And he told me a little story about someone. I said, could you forgive that person? He went, I don't think so. I said, okay. I said, but you know the scriptures, don't you, about, if you don't forgive people, God won't forgive you and all of that stuff. He said, yeah, I know the scriptures. I said, well, why don't I lead you in a prayer of forgiveness then? He said, okay. So I led him in a prayer of forgiveness. And he told me the person's name, told me their name. When I prayed for him to forgive that person by name, he couldn't say it. He could not say their name. He could tell me the name, but in a prayer of forgiveness, he could not say it. So I said, oh, okay. I said, no, I understand that's a process. Let me pray for you. So I prayed for him. And he went away with the same issues he had. I'm sure that if he'd forgiven that person, it would have been a massive breakthrough for him. My own brother died of cancer, Charles. He was 43. He'd married with three daughters that had recently been married. He never lived to see his grandchildren. When I became a Christian while he was dying, you can imagine what my first prayers were, can't you? And when I read in the scriptures for the first time, if you believe and pray, God will answer you. I'm like, yeah. So I'm declaring that, that God would heal him. And he didn't. And And at the time, I remember thinking, oh, well, okay. It was, you know, that doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love me or doesn't love him or doesn't love his family. Just means it was his time to go. But I still had the faith for it. And I didn't lose the faith for it after he died. It's sometimes difficult to explain these things, but... Okay, in terms of praying for people, I want to encourage you to just, with power and authority, and it's normal Christianity to pray for people that are sick. And if you don't have a lot of experience of praying for people that are sick, start getting it. Start getting that experience. If someone comes forward for prayer, don't think to yourself, oh, they've all gone prayer. You know, Ian's called people forward for healing, for example, and I'll just sit at the back and let other people know. If you like the idea of praying for someone to be healed and you want to see someone healed, then get out your chair and come and pray for them to be healed. When you're praying for someone to be healed, if someone comes forward for prayer for healing, pray for healing. My thing is, I pray for the healing and pray for the healing and pray for the healing and pray for that healing. That's what they come forward for. I'm not praying anything else. I'm praying for healing. I'm praying for healing. I might be repeating myself. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Praying for Russell the other day. We're praying for him. Commanding that cancer to get out. Commanding his stomach's all swollen with the cancer. We're praying for the swelling to go down. Pray for him to have the sickness to go. Pray for him to feel well. Pray for the cancer to die. Cancer die. Cancer die. Russell live. Cancer die. Russell live. Cancer die. Russell live. In Jesus' mighty name. Heal him. Heal him. Heal. That's all he wants to hear, isn't it? Heal him. Heal him. Heal him in Jesus' name. We anointed him with oil. I put loads of oil all over him. I said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to slap a load on. You know. Heal him in Jesus' name. Heal him in Jesus' name. The word says that if the elders anoint you with oil and pray for you, the sick, they will be healed in Jesus' name. Heal him, Lord. Heal him. Heal him. Heal him in Jesus' name. I'm just praying like that. Exactly like that. Okay. If someone calls forward for healing, not to encourage you to keep praying for healing, don't flip into something else just because nothing appears to be happening. This is very common. And if you do this, I'm not condemning you, obviously, at all, but this is common. You're praying for someone, Jesus mighty name, pray that pain would go from your neck in Jesus mighty name, pray that the Lord would heal you, that pain would go, it would go, pray that pain would go now in Jesus mighty name. Any different? No. Okay, let's pray again. Jesus mighty name, just pray that this neck would be healed, that the pain would go, that you'd be absolutely alright with it. Are you alright? No. Oh, okay. How did it happen? Oh, well, a few years ago happened. Okay, right, okay. Lord, we just pray that you do the... And then it's not working. So you think, I just see a picture of you standing amongst some rose bushes and there's flowers instead of roses. And I think the Lord's saying to you, you know, I mean, fine. Nothing wrong with prophecy. And it's probably right. But that's not what they came for. They've come for healing. So keep praying for healing. We could learn a million things from the Catholics about this, in the Catholic faith and Catholic tradition, praying for people that are sick, praying and praying and praying for hours. They have healing ministries where they'll pray for people for hours, hours. You can go to these retreats where they pray for healing, Catholic retreats, and they'll pray for you for hours and hours and hours. Then they'll stop for lunch, and then they'll pray for you again for a few more hours. Then they'll stop for tea and pray for you for a few more hours. You go to bed, you get up the next morning, they'll pray for you for a few more hours, days, hours and hours and hours, praying for the same thing, over and over and over and over again, soaking people in prayer. You might have heard of a Catholic priest called Francis McNutt. They refer to it as soaking people in prayer, praying and praying and praying for those people to be healed. And you can only do that if you've got compassion. Compassion. And people say, well, hang on a minute, didn't Jesus just cast the demons out? But I've just told you from the scriptures there, Paul must have prayed for these, you know, for Miletus, or not Miletus, Trophimus, who he left in Miletus. He must have prayed for him again and again and again and again and again. And we must be the same. We must be persistent. You know, try to stop yourself switching into prophecy. You know, and I would say as well, you know, avoid, if you can, the sort of, the obvious prophecy, I call it, is where somebody prays. So when I first became a Christian, I read about healing in the Bible, and someone would say to me, I believe the Lord's going to use these hands for healing. And I think, yeah, I've just read that. I know that. What are you telling me that for? I didn't say that, but that's what I thought. Well, yeah, I've seen that. I believe you're going to be used to witness to people about Jesus and see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know that. I've just read that. Prophecy is something else, isn't it? Prophecy is not the obvious, is it? Prophecy is something else, isn't it? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, are you? I'm right, Anna. Prophecy is something else. That, oh, yeah, that's something that's going to happen that you haven't seen, you can't see yet. Not the stuff that's already here. Okay, we need to repent of our unbelief. This is normal for us as Christians that we go through periods where we just think, unbelief. I can honestly say, in the last 20 years as a Christian, I've never felt as if I wasn't with God. I've always known God was with me since I got saved on the 30th of January 1996. When people say things like, oh, the heavens are as brass, and, you know, I feel as if my prayers are... I've honestly never felt that. I'm not bragging or anything. I've never felt that. Because I've lived without God for 37 years, and to have him in my life, there's a difference. And I've never felt that shift. But our faith for healing is something to pray into. You come to church on a Sunday morning, you know, start praying about, all right, Lord, yeah, I want you to speak to me this morning. I know you're going to speak to me this morning. I'm not going to leave this building the same way I come in. You're going to change me. You're going to speak to me. You're going to encourage me. You're going to fire me up. You're going to challenge me. You're going to teach me stuff I didn't know. You're going to speak to me specifically for me in a way that I'm not expecting. And I'm going to pray for some people. If there's an opportunity to pray for people, I'm going to be forward and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to see them healed. I want to see people healed and changed. Turn the heating down a bit for me, Maz. We're all boiling now. Okay, like you said, we must be moved by compassion. Moved by compassion. I remember I was giving my testimony, I think a little tent mission we were doing in Liverpool or something years ago. And while I was giving my testimony, this woman at the back jumped up and ran out. I thought, oh, that's a first. I thought, oh, I've never had that impact on people before. I mean, she literally jumped up and ran out the tent. And at the end of the meeting, she came back with a little baby. Her granddaughter, a little baby girl, was born with Down syndrome. And she said that while I was giving my testimony and talking about, you know, stuff with my leg and stuff, she said, oh, you'd understand disability, so will you pray? Oh, it's a big one. I hadn't been a Christian long. I'm thinking, I'm about to pray for a little baby with Down syndrome. But it was easy for this reason. I was deeply moved. I was deeply moved because all I'd seen was this woman leap out of a chair and rush. She must have run home or whatever, got this little baby and come back and wanted me to pray. I mean, I don't know what happened with that child, you know. But, yeah, I mean, compassion to be moved for people. And power and authority and love. We need love. We need grace and compassion when people aren't healed. Okay, a couple of things. They might be sad or disappointed or angry. Got to have compassion for that. If someone's sad, you know, they're desperate to be healed and don't get healed, and they feel sad and upset, you know. Thought God was going to heal me. Why hasn't he healed me? Oh, I knew it wouldn't work. Whatever, you can't just see you later or get someone else. Or you've got to have compassion for that. Or they may be in denial. I know Martin referred to this last week, you know. They may be in denial that they've had something for a long time, or they come forward, but they're in full faith not to be healed, which is always throws me. They come forward in full faith not to be healed. Or they explain to you their diagnosis and all these big, long medical words and stuff, I don't like that. It makes me feel bad. As a member of my family is... got a long list of medical issues, and whenever this person starts telling me their medical issues, I feel rattled spiritually. It feels like attack to me. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And I say to the person, I don't really want to know all the details. I want to pray for you. They say, but it's useful for you to know. no, it isn't. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. The other thing is they may not be bothered. Ah, it's okay. No problem. Ah, it is a problem. I'm like, whoa, hang on a minute. I don't want people to have that experience. The other thing they may do, and this is common as well, and there's nothing really wrong with this in a sense, but sometimes people say, I say, you're healed. And they say, I believe I am in the name of Jesus. Great. Are you healed? I believe I am in the name of Jesus. No, no, the question was, are you healed? Yes or no? I mean, it's okay to, you know, some people are healed as they go, aren't they? And maybe healed later. And it's okay for them to believe that they've been healed by faith. That's absolutely fine. But if they've come forward for healing and I've prayed for them to be healed, and I'm asking them, are you healed? That's what I'm asking them. It's either it's a yes or no answer. And if it's no, then there's more prayer, isn't there? Okay. In Proverbs, I love this in Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs 4. It's about the word of God. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Okay, we learn things off by heart, don't we? For they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. The word of God is health to your body. So if you're given tablets and the doctor says, right, take those 4 times a day for 7 days, you will, won't you? You'll take them 4 times a day for 7 days. And if you start to feel better, you've got to take the full course of tablets. We all know that. Pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to a person's whole body. Health. We need to pray healing for ourselves. We need to pray to be healed ourselves. Pray that the Lord would heal us. We'll live with whatever conditions or whatever. One of the things I'd like to be healed of is I have high blood pressure. I don't announce this to everybody, by the way, so it's just for your ears only and whoever's listening on the tape. I was first diagnosed with it probably about 10 years ago. And this nurse, very helpful. I went in because I had an infection in my thumb and I was about to go to Estonia and I thought, I don't want my thumb to drop off in Estonia. I'll go and get some antibiotics. This nurse took my blood pressure and said, don't move. You're going to have a heart attack or a stroke any minute. Which made me think, thank you for that. She said, I'll leave the door open just in case. Fine. She went and got this doctor who cancelled what he was doing so he could see me. He gave me all the spiel, took my blood pressure, said, yeah, your blood pressure's really high, you know, you're going to have to come back in the morning. I said, I'm going to Estonia in the morning. He said, no, no, you're coming back here. I said, I'm going to Estonia. He said, you're coming back here. I said, I come for antibiotics for my thumb. Give me antibiotics for my thumb, please. I'm back from Estonia next week. He said, right, you come back and see me next Tuesday. I said, fine. I never bothered. For about 10 years, 9 years or something like that. And then I went for an eye test. And I booked in to go to one optician's. Went to the wrong one. I thought I'd booked in for one place, but I hadn't. I ended up somewhere else anyway. And this optician said, probably because my eyes were bad, and the optician said, oh, you've got a problem in the back of one of your eyes, either caused by high blood pressure or diabetes. So I thought, drat. But Marion felt it was off God. And that was enough for me. I thought, right, okay. So I went to the doctors, went through all the tests and everything. I basically have the blood pressure of a giraffe. It's unbelievably high. And so obviously I'd start taking medication to, you know, whatever. Actually, the doctor I saw them was really nice. He was a man of peace, you know, so that helps. So I'm on this medication for high blood pressure. And but before I take those tablets every day, I make sure I read some scripture first. I'll not be holding, I don't take them to exact, I'm supposed to take them in the morning, which I do. I don't take them exactly the same time. I don't want to get into the habit of, I must take my medication at exactly 7:35 every day. That's nonsense. Because I'm looking somewhere else, aren't I, ultimately. I make sure I read some scriptures first, and then I thank the Lord that we have medicines, and I thank the Lord that the medicine will work better for me because I'm a Christian than it would for someone else, and that it'll only do me good, and then I take it. And then every now and then, if I feel off God, I might go for the self-check thing and see how it's doing, and I'm doing all right. But I'm not a slave to it. I will not be a slave to it. You know, nothing wrong with taking medication. It's not like I'm hopping around on one leg all the time saying to everybody, I'm just waiting for my leg to grow back. No, I'm walking around on a false leg because it's a lot easier. Okay, so we shouldn't be afraid of medicine. Okay, but we're ultimately after something else. So however long I live is entirely up to the Lord, isn't it? And if the Lord wants me to live to 102 with high blood pressure, that's up to him, isn't it? It's not, you know, I'm not under that. It's like when Marion was having chemotherapy for cancer, they told her about all the side effects, and they give this big long list of side effects, and she just ripped them all up and said, I stand against that in the name of Jesus, put them in the bin. So it's like we've got to get the balance right with medication. We're looking to God ultimately. And if God's providing medicine to help us, that's fine. But we're not jumping into this, I'm totally under the control of doctors and things. So people, that's just a private thing I want to share with you, because some people assume that my greatest need is for my leg to grow back, but actually I'd like my blood pressure to be normal. So if ever you're praying for me, that would be nice. Okay, sometimes people might want prayer for something, just finish with this, but they might not want to tell you exactly what it is. That's fine. You want prayer for healing, what is it? I'd rather not say, no problem. No problem. You know, it's difficult sometimes to share stuff, isn't it? It's personal. Well, or they might just say, I don't want to share it, which means it's personal. Okay, no problem. I'm going to, whatever that is, I'm going to pray for that in Jesus' mighty name for the Lord to heal them. And just because of the world we live in at the moment, one of the greatest things, obviously, is mental illness and depression. Fear of death. Fear of what's going on in the world. Carrying other people. Oh, this is common. Carry our children. Oh, it's painful for us. We stagger under the weight of what our children are going through, our people in our families. This is normal. But it shouldn't impact us to the point where we actually become ill through it. You understand that? To care and have compassion for people in your family is normal. But to the point where it makes you ill, or you don't sleep. It doesn't have to be like that. You know, both our children were away from God for quite some time. Andy was away from God in Iraq. you know, that focuses your prayers and doesn't stop you sleeping. You might wake up in the middle of the night to pray, but unless you stop you falling asleep at night and functioning. Okay? We're not just existing, are we? We're living with the power and authority with God. We need to pray often enough so that we experience moving into that. And I want to challenge you this week, when you're praying for things and praying about specific things in your heart, to move. You know when you're just praying, talking to God, and praying in the power and authority of God, where you're just not having it. You're not settling for anything, and you're telling God what you want and demanding it off him and expecting it from him. And standing against everything else. I mean, the Psalms are powerful. You break my enemy's arms and smash their teeth in. And, you know, it's not weak stuff. It's, no, Lord, we beseech you that you would, if you've got the time, bless me with a little bit of happiness. No, this is power and authority. The power and authority, the same power and authority that's commanded this universe into being. That's the power. It's not a different power. We're not tapping into a human version of power and authority. We're tapping into the power and the authority of God in prayer. When I want, you know, if somebody's going to pray for me, I want them to pray with that. And when you want to pray for people, you want to pray with that. And when you pray with that, you've got masses of supernatural energy. You can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. You can pray at the end of a meeting and minister for hours on end. Hours. And it'll go like that. Because you're full of power and authority. And you're exercising that power and authority to pray for people and see them healed. Okay? In Jesus' mighty name. Okay, what I want you to do is, I want you to go back into your groups and pray for each other about some healing, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, all of those types of things. Okay, pray about those, pray for those things specifically, and ask the Lord to give you the power and authority to pray into those things. Command these things to go and get out in Jesus' mighty name. Let me just pray for you. Your Father in heaven, I just ask you, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we access heaven. We access you all the time, Lord. We're in your presence all the time. And you give us the right to approach you with boldness and confidence, to ask you to use us. Lord, we don't need the right words because we have power and authority. There's not special magical prayers. There aren't magical scriptures to read. There aren't magical ways of praying. It's power and authority in Jesus' mighty name. And we want to be a church of people that exercise the power and authority of God to see people saved and healed and to glorify and honor your name, because you are worth it. Just close your eyes and picture Jesus on the cross. Picture him on the cross. See him on the cross. That's for you. Those wounds. Just try and picture one of those wounds on his back. And in those wounds, is your healing. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, you are so worthy of our honor and our praise and our worship. And we ask you, Lord, the power that rose you from the dead, use that power in us, Lord. Give us that power, resurrection power, to see healing. Help us, Lord, to reach for it and grab it. Not to just want to see it, but to reach for it and grab it, to glorify your name. We want to be people that want to see people healed because it'll glorify and honor your name. Not the name of Amazing Grace, and not our personal names, but the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you can go back into your groups and pray for each other in Jesus' mighty name.